Well, the Rich 250 is in its fifth year. It's published exclusively by The Australian today, and it reveals the top innovators, developers, philanthropists, techpreneurs who are leading the way when it comes to wealth in this country. It's the biggest list of its kind published annually. The Rich 250 showcases, and it also celebrates Australian success stories, industry stalwarts, and inspiring entrepreneurs. It's all tied together by the Australian business journalist, John Stensolt, who edits it. John, welcome to SEN, and thanks a lot for your time this morning.
Oh, no problem, Sam. Good to be with you.
The first question is, how on earth is this list put together, and how and who and where and why? How do you formulate it? Because an enormous amount of research and time must go into compiling lists like this.
Yeah, it certainly does. It takes me a few months, but I mean, there's a lot of work in the background. I end up speaking to a lot of these people on the list as well. Definitely on background, but they do all read it, trust me. So getting a few comments already from them, and no, I usually head it off by trying to talk to them beforehand. So it's almost like they have a bit of a sporting mentality, I reckon. They're very, very, very competitive. So
yeah,
just for their scorecard's wealth, not the bat and ball or something like that.
We'll get to the names in a moment, which everyone will know and know well. Of course, they are big names in all forms of industry in Australia. But if you are to get a complaint, John, is it a complaint that the value isn't quite high enough?
It can be that, definitely. Or you've left me off or something like that. Yeah. And I tell them that we need to talk again a bit more next time. So that does help.
I love it. So looking at the list, wealth would appear to come in all sorts of shapes and sizes. There's plenty of variety.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, it's a bit of a snapshot of Australia, full stop, right? I mean, there's mining magnates, there's tech entrepreneurs, there's people making money in old-fashioned industries like manufacturing that are going really, really well again. But they do. There's some fascinating characters, and there is a lot of big names on it. And look, you know, they have a lot of sporting passions too, right?
Yeah, well, I know you'll have the list in front of you here. So no surprises for listeners this morning to learn that mining features as the main industry at the pointy end of the list. So Gina Rinehart at a lazy $37 billion. You've got her evaluated at Andrew Forrest behind her, $35.2 billion. And Clive Palmer's in there as well, of course, $20 billion. So the Pratts are in there. But the sporting realm, if you like, John, which is why we're on air each and every day here at SEN, who have you got in there from the industry of sport?
Well, literally dozens of them. I mean, if you take someone like who owns an entire competition, like Larry Kestelman with the NBL, for example, so he's on the list. He's worth about 800 odd million, and that's going up actually because his basketball investments are going well. I mean, he paid 7 million for the NBL, whatever it was, 6-7 years ago. Now that'd be worth a lot more. His stakes in Melbourne United, Tassie, the Jack Jumpers, Brisbane Bullets as well. I mean, that's actually going up in value. So, and then it just ranges. It's like someone like a Jerry Ryan who owns a bit of the Storm. He owns Melbourne Cup winners. He owns WNBL teams. He's owned A-League teams in the past. Cycling teams. I mean, you know, sponsors of teams. You just mentioned Andrew Forrest. He actually owns or backs Western Force in rugby union. So, yeah, there's just so many really intriguing examples from broadcasters to actual team owners as well.
Yeah, and a lot of these men and women, as you say, invest their money in sport, which is great. So Larry Kestelman, as you said, NBL owner, what have you got him valued at?
Yeah, so he's about $880 million this year. So, and that's up roughly 10% from last year. So, again, just because, I mean, he's in property. He makes a lot of money. He's also got an outsourcing and call center business in Philippines. It's very, very profitable. But sport's been very good for him.
And you mentioned Jerry Ryan, who would have to be probably sport's greatest philanthropist, I think, in this country. The Caravan King, of course, JK Caravan owner. That's how he made his fortune. But, his portfolio of sports, as you touched on, is probably have to be the most diverse out there. And what have we got him at? Maybe tick over 700 million, is it?
Yeah, that's right. A bit over 700, 707 million. We probably underclubbed Jerry a bit because he's just too humble to tell me much more than that. So, but yeah, JK does very, very, very well. But he does, yeah, he spends a lot. I mean, you know, the cycling team alone would probably cost, I don't know, $10, $12 million a year. It's fascinating.
Yeah, that's an extraordinary outlay for him. And that is a labour of love too, because, I far be it for me to say, but I'm not sure the return on investment, and it would be for all these sports, wouldn't it? I mean, they are passion projects for these people.
They are, yeah. I mean, it's hard to make a buck from sport. I mean, it really is. There's an altruistic sort of element to it. I mean, you can make money if you buy and sell a team and if the team goes up in value. bit like a house, I suppose. You just hope that the prices keep going up. It's not always the case. So, yeah, most of them have that sporting mentality as well. Although we do have a couple of people on the list that have played footy, for example. You know, back a while ago now, I mean, Lindsay Fox was in the reserves at St Kilda, and Jeff Chapman actually played a game for Melbourne in the VFL back in the 60s. So, yeah, there's a couple of, you know, people who actually stepped over the white line, so to speak, too.
And you got Lloyd Williams there, of course. What are we, 870 million, if I got that right?
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, Lloyd's still going strong. He'd probably be worth more if he hadn't spent all that money on Melbourne Cup horses over the years, but he's won plenty of trophies, so I don't think he wouldn't care less, I reckon. The trophies are the things for him, so six times, whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Well, we were talking about passion projects, and that's certainly one for him. So, as I said, fifth year in here, John, I mean, what were the origins of the idea, and was it initially a little bit daunting to take on? How did you come across as a concept?
I've been doing it in various guises, you know, at other places over time. It's probably about 15 years, I think, since I was, you know, put together my first, you know, wealth edition. Yeah, look, it's one of those things that people really love to read. I mean, there's, you know, it charts the good and the bad and everything in between, I think. I mean, people love, you know, a good success story, obviously, but there's people on this list that are definitely, you know, rogues as well. So they do go up and down. But, I mean, the one thing is that a lot of them are self-made, and they, you know, they don't start with much, and they work really, really hard and, as I said, have that competitive mentality and just keep going and going, a bit like, you know, the sports stars out there too.
Now, you got it at 250, and I've seen the top 10 here, but any scope to extrapolate it out, create a bit more work for yourself in the future?
Right now, I'm feeling extremely tired. I think the thought of doing 300 or 500 would just about finish me off. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, there's so many names that are also just underneath as well. Just have such fascinating stories. So that's what it is, I think, ultimately. It's all the colour and movement around these people. That's what the readers really love, I think.
John, great to talk to you, mate. I appreciate you lending us some of your time this morning. It's in The Australian. It is the Rich 250 for the fifth year. It's a must-read, a compelling list. I really appreciate your time, John.
Thanks, Sam. Cheers, though.